Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited that you're with me today. I am actually in the studio with my guest today. Her name is Rochelle Nelson. I'm so glad to have you with me. This is, I think, only the third time that I've had someone in the studio recording with me in person, which is really fun. So welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked studio.
Thank you. Well, I feel honored to be able to be one of the few to be in person with you.
Yeah, that's, it's fun. And this is our new studio too. So yes, this is exciting. Our new studio in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've been talking about this. We just moved to Tulsa a few weeks ago, and it's been really fun so far. Cold.
Yes. This has not been a normal, typical winter.
That's what they say. That's what people say. But it's supposed to warm up this week. So I'm excited about
some. Yes, we've got a taste of normal winter the last few days.
So. Yeah. It's been crazy. There's been ice and snow. And of course, that has spread across the nation. So it's not like we're the only ones who have gotten it. But it's been kind of a shock to us, but fun.
Sure. Good. Yeah. The snow is always fun.
It is. Yeah. It is. We're trying to get used to not being around the ocean because we've always lived within, you know, an hour or so of the ocean, whether Pacific or Atlantic. And now we're
way inland.
Right. There are lakes.
There are lakes.
And rivers. Right. So we are talking today about mama care and us moms caring for one another. And last week, we're going to talk about co-ops in episode 3, but episodes 1 and 2, we're going to talk about taking care of ourselves as moms, because last week we did a mom's night out and Rochelle and I get to do co-op together. It's a co-op that you started several years ago. And so we had this mom's night and you talked about just how we as moms can take care of ourselves, because when we take care of ourselves, it's easier to take care of our families. Sure. And I said, I've got to get you on the podcast. We need to talk about this, because it's not something that we always talk about. We as moms are always caring for our people.
Right. Yeah.
For our families and our husbands and our friends and all of those around us. And we forget sometimes to take care of ourselves.
Right.
So let's talk about this. But first, introduce us to your family. Tell us who you are and how long you've been homeschooling?
Yes. Well, I think the same as you, 10 years, right? So,
yes.
So our my oldest is in 9th grade, so I'm just embarking on those high school years. And then I have, so he's 15, and then our youngest is 1. And so we have 6 kids, a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old in the middle. And we have been homeschooling right from the beginning. I grew up with a family that homeschooled. I myself wasn't homeschooled. My mom kind of got to see, she tried to go in and be real involved with the public school and quickly realized it was a sinking ship. And so she said, that's it. We're going to pull out. And then, you know, she homeschooled my sisters. And I really got to see the positive impact it had on their relationship, really my sister's relationship with my mom. And so right from the beginning, I always knew I wanted to homeschool. So it's always been a desire of mine and been doing it. You know, I say 10 years because that was kindergarten, but really.
Right. Their whole life.
Their whole life.
15 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you were not homeschooled, but your mom, there's a pretty big age gap between you and your next sister.
Right, there's 6 years between me and the next sibling, so.
And so from you watching them, you decided yourself that that's what you wanted for you and your kids.
Yep.
Yeah. And with 6 kids, I imagine it's easy to get lost in the busyness of life and homeschooling and taking care of your home and your family and all the things that we
do. All the things, the day-to-day.
The day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about mom care, because that's something that we think about, like the practical side of it, you know, taking a shower when we have the opportunity to take a shower.
When we have the opportunity, yes.
and feeding ourselves nutritious meals and things like that. But there is not just the one side to taking care of ourselves. What are kind of the two sides of mom care that you see are a necessity?
Well, I see the practical side, you know, which is kind of more, I think, what a lot of people think of. When you hear self-care or me time is kind of a popular trendy word, which I don't like at all. And I can talk about that in a minute. But the other side is the spiritual side. And really you can't ever get to the practical bits and pieces of advice without first addressing the spiritual aspect of it. And how we really have to be in the habit of restoring our soul and finding true rest. So those are kind of the two. I mean, they're intertwined.
Sure.
But I think so often we gravitate towards wanting those quick fixes, those practical, you know, bits of advice. And really, they're always going to fall short if we're not learning and training ourselves to just really directing ourselves back to Christ always.
Yeah.
For that to become our habit. So there's lots of different ways that people can do that. But for me, in those busy moments, you know, that like I've reached the end of my rope moment, the kids screaming, you got one hanging off your leg and you're making dinner and there's a load of laundry and you know husband's about to walk in the door and it's realizing I have to surrender that every single little moment. I have to just surrender that. And so for me, it's lots of little moments throughout the day of just refocusing my attention and just turning my eyes to Christ. That's my biggest advice for just a practical but spiritual focus.
I like that you talk about little moments because I think we tend to think that spending time with the Lord means sitting down for an hour,
right?
Reading our Bibles,
which would be like a dream, right? To get that each
day. Reading our Bibles, praying, and really digging into a really deep devotion and quiet time with the Lord. Which I mean, that's definitely something that's needed. And we definitely should have that time. Mm-hmm. But I know for myself, it almost never is an hour. You know, it might be 15 or 20 minutes.
And certainly not without any interruption.
And not without any interruption, which sometimes, and I want to talk about that because sometimes those interruptions are really good interruptions. Yes. Mm-hmm. We tend to think that they are a frustration. You know, you're bothering me. I'm spending time with the Lord.
Right.
Go on your way. But it doesn't have to be sitting down with very focused time only to spend time with the Lord and to have that refreshed that renewal with him. So as you talk about, and as you think about little times throughout the day, what does that look like for you?
Well, it oftentimes looks like just that pause. Like I'm just going to take a minute to pause and realize, like you were saying, that those interruptions, those moments, they are from God. They are part of what he's asking of us. And so often it's our own to-do lists or our own, and they're not, the to-do lists are often important. You know, they're things that we do need to do. So we so quickly can think that that's more important than pausing and acknowledging that what's right in front of me is really where I'm supposed to be giving my attention.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to do that because we see the big picture. We see the month of things we have to do, the week, you know, but really that moment, that one moment that kid needs our attention or whatever it may be is really where we need to be putting our attention. And so for me, it's just pausing and quieting myself for just a second. Yep. And sometimes that may mean, you know, removing myself from the situation. You know, I'm not against going to the pantry for some chocolate or my personal place is the laundry room. I go to the laundry room and the kids kind of know, oh, mom's just getting a minute in the laundry room for me to just, you know, have a quick conversation with God and just be reminded that what he has put before us is what we're supposed to be focusing on.
Yeah.
If he wanted me to be doing something else, then chances are, the kids wouldn't be screaming or needing me to do a little child training or whatever it is. But for me, it's usually those little, annoyances. And they're not annoyances. They're really our top priority, especially as mom. And so just reminding of ourselves, and it's a constant reminder. And it's a constant surrender. For me, I have to look at it like surrender because I have to put down, you know, just literally lay at the feet of Jesus, whatever it is that I have deemed more important. That's where we find that the burden is no longer there because we've laid it at his feet. And then I only have to pick up and carry that one thing that he's asking me to do right now versus, you know, my arms full with all these things that I'm supposed to be doing because the list of things that mom has to do is huge.
It's endless.
But he's only asking us to do bite-sized pieces, you know, and I think so often we take on more than God's even asking us to take on.
Yes. Yeah. True. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Rochelle. And, you know, as we're talking about our time with the Lord, one of the things that I've realized over the years is oftentimes I will take a break from what I'm doing, like you're talking about, and tend to whatever the need is.
Right.
But sometimes I realize that my kids don't really have a need. They just want my attention. And so oftentimes it's usually my youngest one, because I usually do my quiet time with the Lord in the morning before my girls are up, but usually my youngest daughter is up first.
Right.
And so she'll come and she'll see me sitting on the couch, reading my Bible, praying, you know, listening to worship music, doing my thing. And she's learned to just come and sit with me. You know, if there's a real need, she'll say, you know, Mom, I need your help. But that is rare in the morning. But typically she'll just come and snuggle up beside me.
She wants to be with you.
She just wants to be with me. And so sometimes I'll say, do you want to hear what I'm reading right now? And I'll just read out loud to her whatever it is that I'm reading in God's word that day. And it has become a sweet time. And that doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it's maybe once a week or something that she'll wake up while I'm still reading. But I think it's important for our kids to see us taking that time, setting that time aside to spend time with the Lord. And we were just talking this morning with my youngest daughter about what makes a girl beautiful. And we talk with our girls about this all the time. And if you ask them that question, they'll say your heart, your smile, and your obedience.
Oh, nice.
And those are the things that make us beautiful and make our kids beautiful is our hearts, our smile, and our obedience.
Right.
And so when they see us being obedient to the Lord by spending time with him, they naturally learn that that's just what you do.
Right.
It becomes
natural and they're
right.
Yeah.
It's part of what your day is.
Right.
But
that's neat. I like that. I always like little sayings like that. Like we obey right away, all the way and with a happy heart.
Right. Yes. Oh, my kids always obey all the way, right away with a happy heart. Don't yours?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, oftentimes we have periods of stress when that comes in, that seems to be the time that is most difficult for us to take care of ourselves as moms. How do you encourage moms in that, during those times of life to be able to actually take care of themselves when everything around us seems to be swirling and it's just chaos. There's chaos all around and all we feel like we can't even breathe, much less have time to care for ourselves.
Sure. Well, I think it's important to remember that for most things like that, it is a season. Mm-hmm. And also to not be surprised by it. I mean, the Bible tells us that we will have trials. You know, we are going to be fearful at times. We're going to be anxious, but he tells us what to do with that. You know, that we are to come to him. And so I think that's a big one, is just not being surprised by it. I think so often we just think that life's not going to be that hard, or we feel like we've done something wrong or we failed and that's why things are hard. And so I think just recognizing that it's normal for there to be seasons that are extra stressful.
Yeah.
And being able to, again, being in that habit of just casting all of our cares on him.
Yep.
You know, 1 Peter 5:7. I love that because it's so short, but yet it says so much, just to cast all of our cares on him.
Yeah.
And just being in that habit. But practically speaking too, is that I find that often when we are very stressed and overwhelmed, just that feeling of overwhelmed, God has created us to be relational. He wants us to be intimate with him, which is why that's the first thing we need to do.
Right.
But also the next is our husbands and then, you know, our children and then community and those people around us. And so I think often our tendency is to draw back, you know, away from people, away from God, away from our husbands. And I think what we'll find is if we draw in and draw near to Christ, but also our husbands, you know, especially when life is crazy, that intimacy with our husband is often the first thing that we think we can nix. But really, it can be such a healer. So I think relationships are big, and just remembering that God created us to be close to people, and there's it's going to restore you in so many different ways.
That's such a good reminder, because I tend to do that. I definitely, when I get stressed out or I'm tired or overwhelmed, I kind of, you know, draw into myself, and I just want to,
we want an escape.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you want to avoid the situation. Right. So
because it seems like the natural thing to do, like not have one more person whose needs need to be met. It just seems, well, that's just one more thing to do. One more person to talk to, one more person to meet their needs, whether it's our husband or our kids or a family member or friends. But in reality, oftentimes that can become the restful thing for us.
Exactly.
Is to do that. That's why we need mama friends.
Yes. Yep. It's true. Yep. That's why we need that, you know, just people. We need people. Yep. And I think that the, you know, the me time, the trendy way of saying that, the reason why I hate that so much is because it really is selfish at its root.
It removes everybody else.
And you know, those things are so temporary. You know, if you do something that's really just for selfish gain, it's going to feel good in that moment.
Right.
But it's so temporary, you know? Right. And so you're going to come back and it's all going to still be there. Yep. You know, it's not going to go away. So, that's why I'm not a fan of the me time phrase.
No, I'm with you. In relation to talk, let's kind of break that apart. So in leaning into our husbands, you know, of course there's the intimate side of marriage, but then the physical intimacy side, but there's also the emotional intimacy side. Mm-hmm. How do you find ways to emotionally connect with your husband, especially during difficult times or times where you're just tired?
Right. Well, I think, you know, they're the leader of our household and the spiritual leader. And so I think it's important to be real and honest with them and let them know when you're struggling. And, you know, most men are just designed with that natural tendency to want to fix things. And so a good spiritual leader is they're going to pour truth and scripture into us. You know, God's going to utilize them to provide that need for us. And so that's been a good, like, bite of humble pie for me a lot, because I by nature tend to want to just do things myself. So just allowing myself to be vulnerable in that way and to realize that being weak is a, you know, is a good thing to allow yourself to show the areas that you're struggling with and to your husband. And then I think you'll just always be surprised that they tend to know what you need. You know, they tend to pick up on things. But having a good communication always, you know, throughout, that way when you hit those moments, it's more natural than waiting, you know. But yeah, I think that allowing them to be the spiritual leader when you're struggling is big. You know, giving them permission to guide you.
Yep. And then the Lord gets to use them.
Right.
In the way that they were designed and created to be used and to lead our families when we go to them with our struggles and our burdens and, you know, and even with our joys and the things that delight us throughout the day, being able to talk through those things with our husbands is important. So on the mama friend side of it, because I, as you have found, I don't know what I would do without my mom friends, you know, those people that God has placed in my life who are very just like-minded and they just get you. They understand the things that you're going through. How do you find ways to nurture those relationships and be open and transparent with those people?
Well, intentionality, as with everything, right? We have to just recognize that it's important to foster those relationships and to also, again, I think it's being vulnerable, like being willing to have people come to your house when it's not all the way picked up. Being willing to say, hey, I'm really needing help. I'm really struggling with this. You know, I've got sick kids or whatever. Can you come help me? Maybe fold some clothes or drop off some groceries or, you know, again, I just feel like we are, we've been trained to really think that we have to be dependent or independent and really God designed us to need each other. And so, I think that's the biggest thing. The more real you can be with somebody, the quicker that relationship's going to be fostered. So, you know, don't ever let those walls get built up.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, already ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Friendships are so very important because we can build each other up. You know, again, we can also have friendships in our lives that are toxic.
Yes.
And those can just suck the life right out of you. Mm-hmm. You know, I have learned in my adult years that it's okay to say no to friends. It's okay right. to say no to friendships.
Yes.
You know, if there are people in our lives that are difficult and they mm-hmm. just suck the life out of us.
Yep.
It's okay to just say, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Right.
In a nice way. That's hard to do.
It is. Yeah. But yeah.
Especially if they're family members, though. Well, I haven't had family members like that. Thankfully we have good relationships with our family.
But yeah, you can
members.
Love from a distance.
Sure.
You don't have to. Yeah. You can yes. still love them and realize that they don't need to be in your inner circle.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Right.
So you were talking when we had our mom's night, you talked about this hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and how that was just such a reminder, of turning our attention to Christ mm-hmm. through life. I mean, there's every day of our lives, we face joys and trials and hardships mm-hmm. and blessings. And I mean, right. all the of the,
yeah.
everything, I mean, all of the emotions. Right. And so always focusing our eyes on Jesus. And so I love that you were going through this and some of the lyrics, I won't sing it for you. It was funny. Before we got on today, we were talking about how neither of us can sing. No singing. We won't sing for you.
Anything but singing, please.
The funny thing was the reason you said that you didn't sing was the same reason I said the Lord didn't give me the ability to sing is because I would always be like,
up in
front of everybody.
Take the stage.
Right, yeah. right.
Yeah. Be in the limelight.
Yes. So, oh boy, my voice is terrible. So I will never sing. But some of the lyrics in the song are, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Right.
And he is full of glory. He is full of grace. And
it's just such a picture of him calming the storm.
Yes.
You know, and I love the visual because I have several of my kids, I need to be fully facing them mm-hmm. and giving them my full attention, or to them, it does not count.
Right.
No multitasking. It's not allowed.
Yes.
And I think so often we multitask mm-hmm. our life with Jesus, and that's fine. You know, a lot of times, it should be intertwined into everything we do, but there's moments that calls for us to just pause and look full in his face. And I just think that everything around us just kind of melts and just calms.
Yeah.
So that, I love that hymn just because it's such a visual, I can picture it.
Yeah.
I'm a visual person, so.
Yeah. Yep. We find our rest in him. So we are out of time for this episode, but we will be back on Wednesday. We're going to keep talking about mama care. And then following that, we're going to talk about co-ops and how we can get started, how you got started with mm-hmm. The co-op that I am now a part of with my girls, which is really exciting. And we talk a lot about the importance of community. And so that all mm-hmm. kind of plays hand in hand.
Right.
So thank you for being here with me.
Thank
we
you.
Will continue to record and we'll be back on Wednesday. So thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to share this with your friends. And if you have not yet left a review for the podcast, we would love it if you would do that. All right. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.